All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3. Now, that's in the New Testament. But then as soon as you find out, I want you to go back to the book of Genesis, all right, chapter 5. Do what? That's not in the New Testament. I have fallen into the book of Genesis and I can't get out. But I want to start here in the book of 1 Peter this morning. All right, if you will begin, follow me, beginning in verse 18. I will read down to the end of the chapter. So 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. All right, everybody have it? Amen. All right. If you don't have it, just look intelligently at whatever page you happen to be on at the time, all right? That'll work. All right, here we go. Verse 18. For Christ also hath, what's the next word?
Once.
Once suffered. Once. How many times?
Once.
All right? He suffered for sins. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened. And again, we don't use the word quickened today in the way it's used here. The language has changed. Again, if you take a pen and stick it underneath your fingernail, you are into the what?
Quick.
All right. And what's that mean? That means it's alive under there. All right. And you don't want to stick a pen underneath your fingernail. All right. So it says, but quickened or made alive or brought to life by the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now that's a reference to when Jesus died on the cross, that he went down to Abraham's bosom. All right, look at me for just a moment. Imagine this big ball, all right, this big plate, if you will. Let's do a plate, big plate. And in that big plate, we're going to put up at the top of it Hades, H-A-D-E-S. All right, now what's that? Well, Hades is the realm of the dead. It is the realm of the dead. All right. What's in Hades? Well, there are many things in Hades. Hell is there. All right. The place that burns, where unsaved people go when they die. All right. If you're not saved, you go to hell when you die. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says so. That's how I know it. All right? And so hell is there. What else is there? Well, Abraham's bosom or paradise is there. Okay? But it's empty right now. And the reason it's empty right now is because it was full of Old Testament saints, but when Jesus was quickened by the Spirit, he, in that 3 days where his body lay in the grave, somewhere in that 3 days, he went down to Hades, specifically to Abraham's bosom, and he preached the gospel to all of those that were in Abraham's bosom and brought them out, all right? Brought them out. And then took them eventually to heaven. So there's nobody in Abraham's bosom or paradise today. You remember Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Exactly right. You remember the rich man in Lazarus, and the Bible says that in hell he lifted up his eyes, the rich man. But Abraham or Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. That's paradise. That is the place where the unsaved or the saved people went when they passed away in the Old Testament. Now you say, well, why didn't they go to heaven? Well, Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that verse 4 that it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. So they had to go there until the Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross. And then the Lord Jesus, after shedding his blood, went down and brought them out now that his blood has washed away all their sin. So that's why there's nobody there today. Today, when a saved person dies, we go straight to heaven. Why? Because to be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. All right? Our sin is gone when we trust Christ as our Savior. So that's what verse 19 means. You get all that? Amen. All right, I'm going to give you a test after a while. All right, no, I'm not. Don't anybody panic. Verse 20, which sometime were disobedient. When once, there it is again, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of who? Noah. All right, so Noah is brought in to the teaching, if you will, about the first coming and second coming of Christ. So it says, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. In other words, while the ark was being built, when it was being prepared, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure thereunto, or whereunto, even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. I guess you heard about the little boy who went home from Sunday school and around the lunch table, his mother asked him, what'd you learn in Sunday school? And he said, well, I learned that God is left-handed. And they said, well, they looked at him and said, well, what do you mean, God? How'd you learn God is left-handed? And the little boy said, well, our Sunday school teacher said that Jesus was sitting on his right hand. So he's got to be left-handed. All right, now that's literal. That's taken literally the word of God, is it not? All right, let's pray together, please. And then I want you to turn back to the book of Genesis for just a moment. All right, let's pray. Now, our Father, thank you so much for the word of God. And I pray that you will bless this morning as we look at the fact that our Savior came once to suffer and to pay the penalty we owe for sin. But Father, we are going to look also at the fact that our Savior is coming again. And so I pray that you will bless this morning. Help me as I speak. I want to be clear. I want folks to follow and to understand God's time frame and God your time schedule. So, Father, help me as I explain all that this morning, and give us your richest blessings now, we pray, in Christ's name, amen. All right, let's go back for just a moment now and look at Genesis chapter 5, the book of Genesis chapter 5. And I want to show you something this morning that I hope will encourage you a little bit and help you to realize that our Lord's return is indeed at hand. He came once, but the Bible says he is coming again. And so we have a picture of that here in the book of Genesis chapter 5, and we're going to tie it in to 1 Peter chapter 3. All right, so look please, if you will, at, let's begin, I'd say, at verse 24. All right, 24. It says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not." You say, well, what happened to him? God took him. He took him. Now, folks, there's going to come a day, hopefully in our lifetime, when we are, and then we're not. All right? A time when we are, but in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will not be any longer. You say, well, what's going to happen to us? Same thing that happened to Enoch. God is going to call us up just like he called Enoch up. And he took him to be with him in heaven. All right, so Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now look at verse 25. "And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech." Now can you imagine becoming a father at 187 years of age? The reason you have children when you're young is so you don't die before you get a chance to raise them. All right? They'll wear you out. Can you? We had a house full Friday night. We had all of our grandchildren, and then we had Mark and Tiffany Real's little guy, Jake, with us. That's the cutest kid. Oh, my soul, he is adorable. The little things that come out of that boy's mouth, amazing. Amazing. He is, what, five? Six? He's 6 years old going on 28. who hollered out six? There you are, yes. He ran and told everything. Everything they did. He run.
He told us on YouTube.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure he did. But he would run and tell me, "Mr. Pastor." Oh, it was adorable. It was so cute. "Mr. Pastor." And he was, those boys are running with sticks out there. "Mr. Pastor, Brennan's up in the tree." Oh, it was hilarious. Every time he came in the door, I knew he was ratting somebody out. But we had a ball. But that's why you have them when you're young. Because when noon came, I was very happy. Because all the parents showed up all at the same time. "Bye, we love you, come back." But after a while, you know, the running back and forth, "Quit running." "Okay." "Quit running." "Okay." Round they go. And it's like they're deaf. They can't hear a thing. Anyway, where was I? 187 years. Methuselah, 187 years when he had a kid. Mercy. Bless his heart. Verse 26. It says, "And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters." You say, is that literal years? Yes. Yes, they're literal years. You say, well, how in the world did they live so long? Well, they did not have, first of all, 6,000 years of sin that we have today. We don't, and the effects of sin. Can I remind you, though, that God told Adam, don't eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, dying physically, thou shalt surely die spiritually. And so as time is marched on, the length of years that men live has reduced, especially after the flood. There's another reason. God had that canopy over the earth, and that kept the radiation from the sun out. But when the flood came, that canopy collapsed. And that was one way that God flooded and judged the entire world. That canopy dropped to the earth, and the fountains of the deep opened up. And when that happened, then there was a universal flood. Now, if you don't think that the flood was universal, all you need do is go out Interstate 70 and then get on 68 and go about 5 miles, and you will go through that first rest area out there. And what's the name of that rock? What is it? Sidling Mountain, Sidling Rock, yeah. And there's a rest area there. And you can just look and see the strata, the layers, where those mountains pushed up like a ball glove drying after you left it out in the rain. And when it dries, it's all wrinkled and crinkled up. Well, the same thing happened to the earth when the waters began to recede from off the face of the earth. All right, so very plainly, that's why they lived so long. They did not have the same things that you and I have to deal with today. Then look at verse 28. It says, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name, what? Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands. Wonder what that turned out to be. That turned out to be the building of an ark that took 120 years for them to build. How many of you have been to the ark down in Kentucky? It's massive, is it not? Can you imagine building that by hand? 120 years it took them. That's why they lived so long. They could never have built that ark if they died like we do. All right, and verse 30, and Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old and begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All right, now, I want all of you to understand, and of course you know this if you go to church here at all, I believe what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus coming back to this earth in the clouds to rapture the church up to heaven. Amen. I believe that with every fiber of my being. You say, well, why do you believe that? Because the Bible says that it's going to happen. When the Lord Jesus ascended from this earth after the resurrection, 40 days later, he ascended to heaven, and he went to the Mount of Olives with his disciples and then went up right in front of them, and they watched as he went up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And when he disappeared behind the clouds, the Bible says that these two creatures, these two people appeared. Doesn't say they were angels, just says that two men appeared to the disciples, and they said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, the very exact same one, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go. So either Jesus is coming back or the Bible is lying to us right there. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. Check it out. All right, so then in another place, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 18, Paul said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, folks, the Bible teaches that Jesus is coming again. And I want you to understand that there is absolutely nothing that prevents him from coming back even today. The Lord Jesus could come back before we're finished here this morning. Wouldn't that be a scary thing if all of a sudden all of us in this building disappeared and you were left behind because you weren't saved yet? Wouldn't that, what would you do? What in the world would you do? I'm telling you, folks, it's real. And we better get prepared for it. The Lord is coming again. Amen. Now, the Lord Jesus told his disciples many times about a number of signs that would allow us, when we saw those signs, to understand that his return is near, that it's getting close. And one of the signs concerned the old patriarch Noah. The Lord Jesus taught us and taught his disciples and thus taught us that when the conditions on this earth were the same as they were in the days of Noah, that we would know that the Lord Jesus's return was upon us. In Luke 17 and verse 26, Jesus said these words, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." Now, knowing that, if you go back and read Genesis 4, 5, and 6, we realize that we today are seeing so much of the exact same things happen in our world today as they were happening in the days of Noah. Noah's days are being repeated today with amazing similarities. Wickedness, gross immorality, violence, murder, rejection and unbelief in God, in the Bible, and all these reveal the condition of man during Noah's day. And so, so as it was in the days of Noah. And so now here we are in 2020. And folks, we are living in a world where we are seeing the exact same things repeat themselves today. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man comes. And you'll remember that when God called Noah, he told him in chapter 6 and verse 17 or verse 13, he said that the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence, just like it is today, folks. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And that's exactly what God did when he sent the flood upon this earth. Now, we have, as the church, for several years now, We have been shaking our heads for years now, wondering what is preventing the Lord Jesus from coming back. We have been wondering. I've had folks all the time ask me, Pastor, what do you think is holding up the Lord? Why is he not returned yet? Why is the Lord not yet come back for his church? Well, let's go back to the days of Noah, and we'll see what happened in the days of Noah. And as we look at that, maybe we can realize that as it was then, so shall it be in the day when the Lord Jesus comes again. All right, now, here's what I want you to notice. I want you to look at verse 27. Verse 27. I want you to understand in verse 27 that Methuselah is a main character here. Methuselah is a main character in understanding why the Lord Jesus has not yet returned. We all know the name Methuselah. What do we know about him? Well, we know that that Methuselah lived longer than any other person in the Bible. Now, I presume that he lived longer than anyone, but as far as the record goes, Methuselah lived longer than anyone, 969 years. Now, folks, wow. That, you talk about needing geritol. That's old. All right? That's old. And so Methuselah, 969 years. And the fact that he outlived everyone, the fact that he lived so long, longer than any other person on the planet, means something. It is not in here just for filler material. It's not like God was fill in some verses here, so I'm just going to talk about how old Methuselah was. No. He's in there for a reason. It's not just coincidence that Methuselah lived longer than anyone else. So I want us to look at the significance of Methuselah. You might remember in the New Testament that Jude, in his little epistle, tells us in verse 14, I think it is, of Jude, that Enoch, who is mentioned here in verse 24, so Enoch was Methuselah's daddy, and the Bible tells us in Jude, verse 14, that Enoch, Methuselah's daddy, was a great preacher. He preached before the flood. He was a great preacher, and his message concerned the coming wrath of God. And when Enoch's wife gave birth to their new little baby, Enoch named him Methuselah. Methuselah. Now, Methuselah means this. All right, everybody listen. Methuselah means this. It means when he is come, it, or when he is gone, it shall come. Let me say it again. When he is gone, it shall come. That's that. You say, well, what in the world does that mean? All right, when he is gone, it shall come. Enoch gave, listen carefully now, Enoch gave his son a name that insinuated that when he died, and remember, he outlived everyone. He was the oldest living man that ever lived, as far as we know. As far as the Bible record is concerned, he outlived everybody else. And Enoch gave his son a name that insinuated when he died, the wrath and the judgment that Enoch had been preaching about, his daddy had been preaching about. And here's what Jude said. Jude said that Enoch went around preaching, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." So he preached a message of judgment and wrath that was coming. And so Enoch, when his son was born, named him Methuselah. When he is gone, it shall come. And I believe that God gave Enoch, the preacher, a special revelation into the fact that the flood was coming as judgment upon mankind. And if you take all the ages of these men that are listed in this fifth chapter, if you take all of their ages and add them up, you will find that in the year that Methuselah died, the flood came. When Methuselah died, that was when the flood came. In other words, God did not send the wrath and the judgment of the flood until Methuselah was out of the way. And Methuselah outlived everybody. Now, what does that show us? Well, folks, listen, it shows us that God is a God of grace and mercy, and that God is going to give man as much time as he possibly can before he has to finally step in and judge this world. We call that grace. We call that grace. We call God sparing mankind grace. This extension that God gave to Methuselah, this extension that God gave him, explains the long life. I mean, for 600 years. Think about this. For 600 years, Methuselah was a contemporary of Noah, the man that God used to build the ark. And here's something to think about. He may have worked on the ark himself with Noah, his nephew. Isn't that something? I mean, he very well could have worked on that ark. And all of this, though, please understand, all of this, though, is according to the promise of God. God had revealed all of this to Enoch, probably, and had limited the days of grace before the heavens opened and the fountains of the deep ruptured, and God sent his wrath and judgment upon mankind and upon the earth. And so as long as Methuselah was on the earth, the flood could not come. But the moment that Methuselah was gone, then the wrath of God was poured out upon mankind. And folks, here's the point. Methuselah was 969 years old when he died and the flood came. But think of this. The earth was corrupt and it was full of iniquity and it was ripe for judgment 120 years earlier when God met with Noah. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God told Noah, build the ark. So think about that. The earth was corrupt back then. And 120 years, John, you know all about 120 years. Right? You see the point, folks? Mercy, grace. God extending his mercy and his grace to mankind. The earth was corrupt and full of iniquity and ripe for judgment 120 years earlier. So the God of grace extended the day of grace for 120 years. Since God had sent a sign to mankind through Methuselah that he would not send his wrath and his judgment until Methuselah died, it became necessary for God to extend the life of this man to correspond to the added period of God's patience. Now, everybody understand that? When he is gone, it shall come. 120 years. This world was as wicked and it was as violent as it is today. As it is today. You read all about that in the sixth chapter. And God looked down and he was angry. He was angry when he saw how man had rebelled against him. And he said, I'm going to destroy this place. I'm going to destroy this place. And I'll start over with you, Noah. I'll start over with you and your sons. And that's exactly what he did. But 120 years of grace was extended. That's amazing, folks. But that's our God. You see, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not want to send anyone to hell. You read your Bible, as a matter of fact, and you're going to find out that God did not prepare hell for you or for me. He did not. You say, well, who did he make it for? He made it for the devil and his angels. But if you reject the grace of God, then God has no choice but to cast your eternal soul into the fires of hell. Now, folks, listen. Let me say this. Let me tie this together for you, and then we'll be done. Enoch and Methuselah, back here in the Old Testament, become a picture of the church today. Enoch and Methuselah become a picture of the church today. Now, in 1 Peter 3, let's go back to 1 Peter for just a moment. And let me show you what Peter says here in this third chapter, 1 Peter chapter 3. And in let's look at verse 20, chapter 3, verse 20. All right, we read this just a moment ago. And here it says, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. So God waited. And that's what I've been showing you. He waited 120 years. And then when he was gone, then it came. And Methuselah is the he. And when Methuselah died, that was when the judgment came. But the neat thing is, Methuselah outlived everybody. God showing his grace. So Peter tells us that the postponement of the flood and the resultant extension of Methuselah's years were a direct result of God's grace. And so shall it be in the days of judgment and wrath that lie ahead of us. You see, folks, Enoch and Methuselah become a type and picture of the church of Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, the church in Acts 1 was launched and became the abiding place of the Holy Spirit of God. This church in us, this church is to remain upon the earth until the judgment of the great tribulation period, and is to be caught up just before that great and terrible day of the Lord begins. So the point is this, folks, as long as the church is here, all right? So if you're saved, how many of you are here? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, that was not a loaded question. I'm just making sure you're with me. All right, so as long as the church is here, the tribulation cannot come. I had a fellow just a couple of weeks ago say to me that don't you think we're in the tribulation right now? I said, no. No, of course not. Why not? Man, it's bad. I said, yeah, it's bad, but you ain't seen nothing yet. If you think this is bad, just wait until the Lord steps out on the cloud and the trumpet sounds and we are raptured up to be with Him in heaven. You just wait. When we go out, the Holy Spirit goes out with us. So you think this is bad, you just hang on a little bit. And you start reading Revelation 6 through Revelation 18, and you're going to find out real fast that what we're seeing today is nothing in comparison to what's coming. Amen. Amen. And that's true. And so shall it be in the days of judgment that lie ahead, just as it was in the days of Enoch and Methuselah. So the church is to remain upon this earth until the judgment of the great tribulation period. And when that, when the Lord Jesus comes and takes us to heaven, that is when the judgment will begin. So as long as the church is here, folks, tribulation cannot come. Here's a promise the Apostle Paul gave to believers. In Romans 8:1, Paul said this, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." The Lord Jesus said, but John wrote it down in Revelation 3:10, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation or trial, which shall come upon all the earth to try them that dwell upon the earth." In Luke 21, verse 36, the Lord Jesus said, "Watch ye therefore, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Folks, this is consistent throughout the scriptures. Noah was safely in the ark, and then the flood came. Lot was safely out of Sodom, and then the fire fell. And the church will be raptured and safely in heaven, and then the judgment of God's wrath will be poured out upon this world. So why hasn't the day of the Lord come yet? Well, folks, it hasn't come yet because we're still here. We're still here. It's just that simple. And I hope you realize that is just by grace. You know why? Because there's still a lot of people that need to get saved. And if they don't get saved, they're going to be left behind and have to face this judgment. Can you imagine when 120 years passed? Think of this now. 120 years. That's a long time. And there's old Enoch out there preaching his head off, warning folks. And there's Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness, you remember. And there's old Noah preaching. and warning people God's wrath is coming. You better get ready. Judgment is coming. But sadly, when the day came, think about this now. When the day came that Noah, God told Noah, get on the ark. God had already sent the animals to him. You know, a lot of folks think Noah spent that 120 years out gathering up animals. No. He spent 120 years building the ark. He spent 120 years building the ark. And then when that ark was built, finally, God said, all right, I'm going to send you the animals. And he did. Two by two, here they came. Two by two, here they come. We have a national emergency or what? What'd Trump do now? What? Oh, see, Jesus is coming. You heard that. All right, are we done? All right, let's get back. Now think about this now. God sent him all the animals. They're all on the ark. And all of a sudden, out in the distance, you hear thunder. And they all said, what was that? And they look, and it's pitch black out there coming their way. What's that? And then the lightning strikes from the sky. They had never seen it storm before. You see, God had that canopy over the earth. They had never seen it. They had never seen rain. Noah stood up 120 years earlier and said, it's going to rain. They all looked at one another and said, it's going to do what? Rain. What's that? It's where water comes out of the sky. You're nuts. You're crazy. And they just blew him off. But imagine it, folks. Noah and his boys and his wife and their wives get on the ark. And all these people are just, they're standing there so proud of their work. And then all of a sudden, one of them looks over and says, wow, what is that coming? Now think about it. Put yourself there for just a moment. What would you have thought when all of a sudden the hand of God came down and shut the door on that ark? Huh? What would you have thought? You know, I bet a lot of folks went, uh-oh. Whoops. But it's too late. Open the door. Noah, open unto us. But it was too late. That's sad, isn't it? And just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. I wonder how many folks are going to be looking around going, whoops. Wait, Lord, come back and get me. Too late. You see, you got to be saved on this side of the rapture. And accept God's grace today. And that's the only way that you're going to make it. You see, folks, it's all right here in the Bible, and it's coming. And we better be ready. I said something the other day and a couple weeks ago, and man, that hit a nerve with a lot of people. And here's what I said. You read your Bible, you'll find out from creation to the flood, it was 2,000 years. Not exactly, but close. 2,000 years. And then you read your Bible and add up all the genealogies, and from the end of the flood until Jesus came, 2,000 years. And now here we are in 2020, and from the time Jesus came till now, 2,000 years. And at the end of this one, judgment came. And at the end of this one, judgment on the Jews came. God blinded their eyes. And they're still blind today. They cannot see it. And at the end of this one, the tribulation begins. And that's wrath like the world has never seen. You remember God said, he put the rainbow in the sky. And of course, men's corrupted it. Amen. And he put that rainbow out there. And he told Noah, he said, every time you see that rainbow, let it remind you that I am not ever going to judge this world by water again. By water. That's the key. By water. But judgment is coming. All right, let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. And I pray that you will bless this to our hearts in a mighty way. And Father, I do not know the spiritual condition of every person in this room, but I know you know that. And so, Father, I pray that you'll speak to hearts today. If there is someone who is not sure that they're saved, help them to realize that the day of grace is running out. There will come a day when grace will no longer be extended. And the wrath of God is going to fall. And I pray that you'll speak to hearts, Father. We want to get everybody in the kingdom that we can. I don't want to see anybody excluded. But Father, they must put faith and trust in you. And so I pray that you will speak to hearts today. And Father, if we're here today and know Christ, we know we're saved, help us to realize that this day is rapidly approaching. And what have we done for the Lord Jesus? What have we done? So Father, speak to hearts today, I pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to ask you a couple of personal questions. And I want you to be as honest with me as you can be. Nobody's looking, just you, me, and God. But I want to know how to pray for you this morning. I mean, you're here. And I have an obligation to preach the Word of God to you, but also have an obligation to pray for you. And so if you're here today and you're saved and you know it, absolutely you know it beyond shadow of doubt, would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I know beyond shadow of doubt that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I know that I'm born again. Just hold your hand up where I can see it and let me rejoice with you. Amen. My hand's up too. All right, thank you. May put your hands down. Thank you so much. Now that looked like about everybody. And I am so glad you know the Lord. But there were some hands that weren't raised. My friend, let me tell you something. God loves you. He loves you so much, he sent his son to suffer for you. When Jesus went to that cross, he suffered so you wouldn't have to. And all he asks is that you call upon him and let him save you from hell. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you could not raise your hand a moment ago to say, Preacher, I know I'm saved, would you raise it right now and say, Pastor, pray for me this morning. God's speaking to my heart today, and I know I need to be saved before it's too late. So, Preacher, pray for me. Would you lift your hand up and let me pray for you and ask God to help you? Anybody like that? Just hold your hand up where I can see it and let me pray for you. Anybody like that? Yes, ma'am. God bless you. I see your hand. Thank you. You may put it down. Anybody else? Yes, sir. God bless you. I see yours up in the balcony. Thank you. You may put it down. God bless you. Anybody else? Anyone else? Be honest, folks. Be honest with yourself and with God. All right, Father, thank you now. And I pray that you'll speak to hearts today. There are folks here today that need the Lord. They need to be saved. And so, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to hearts and help folks to realize that they need to just put their faith and trust in you. And Father, I don't know how to make it any more simpler, any more easy than just to tell these who raise their hand, they're among friends, they're among people that love them, and we want to help as much as we possibly can. We want to help and show them how they can trust the Lord. And Father, they don't have to join anything. They don't have to buy anything. We're going to give them something that will last them forever. So Lord, I pray you'll help folks to realize they need Jesus. So speak to hearts, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.